We like to be rugged individualists, and we like to be in charge, and we like to be in control. So the idea of surrender is not something that we really embrace. But let's talk about it anyway. So surrender, what surrender is and what surrender is not. Surrender is not giving up. And it's important that we realize the difference. There's a difference between quitting and surrendering. Quitting involves no hope for future growth, while surrendering opens the door to future growth. Does that make sense? Okay. So by definition, my definitions, these are my definitions, giving up is to cease making an effort, to resign oneself to failure, where surrender is to abandon oneself entirely. Isn't that lovely? Abandon oneself entirely to a powerful emotion or something like that, to give into, to give oneself over to something greater. So that's the kind of thing that we're talking about this month. That's the idea of surrender that we want. And Ernest Holmes talks about surrender. He talks about not giving up. In Help for Today, you know, he says this: no matter what happens, don't weaken. Don't give up. Just know that God will help, because God wants us to be happy, to laugh, to love, to be helpful. And all of this you can do, for God is always where you are. God is always where you are. So we are always able to surrender into that greater idea of who we are. Makes sense, yes? So never give up. Never give up. This too shall pass, right? That's what they say in the Bible. This too shall pass. You don't hear any of them saying it came to stay. Doesn't say it came to stay. It says it comes to pass. And that's what this is all about. So giving up is relinquishing the idea that anything is ever going to get better. That wherever we are, whatever is happening to us, giving up means things are just never going to get better or different, or these things are never going to end, and nothing new is ever going to begin. That's really the energy and the consciousness around giving up. And here's the interesting thing about giving up that I have found. Giving up is what leads us to surrender. It's almost like we go through that in order to get to that place of pure surrender. I know, right? Isn't that weird? How does that happen? We live our lives as if we're in charge. We control all aspects of our day. We're plotters, and we're planners, and we're schedulers. We have a one-year plan and a five-year plan and a 10-year plan, right? Don't you? We're very, very good at being in control of things. We are not, however, in charge. And there is a difference. There is a difference. I mean, I'm in control of my life. I decide what time I'm going to wake up in the morning, what time I'm going to go to bed. I decide what foods I'm going to eat. I decide where I'm going to go on vacation, what outfit I'm going to wear. Isn't this lovely? Yeah. Okay. What outfit I'm going to wear. But I'm not in charge. I'm not in charge. And there is a big difference. And here's the difference. Here's the difference. Oh, great example. When I was pregnant with my first child, I chose to go to childbirthing classes. That was a choice. Larry and I attended every single one faithfully. We did not miss one class. 100% attention, attendance. Got a gold star. We passed all of the subjects with flying colors. We became experts on breathing. Breathing, blowing, pushing, holding, you know, the whole thing. You know, the whole entire thing, okay? We got a degree in it. I mean, we were experts. We got a certificate at the end of the class. Now, the only part of childbirth class that I really didn't pay attention to was the class on cesarean sections. Because it wasn't in my plan, you know, because I wasn't choosing that. And so I didn't really pay attention to that part. That was not my plan, you know. And I was in control of the whole thing. I picked the doctor I was going to have. I picked the hospital I was going to. I picked the little outfit the baby was going to come home in. I was in charge of the whole, I was in control of the whole thing. I just wasn't in charge. I just wasn't in charge. And you know, Adrian, who's in the back of the room doing all of our video and audio, Adrian was the cutest little baby ever delivered by C-section anyone has ever seen. Ever seen. A little, just perfect little marble head, you know. He was just adorable. I was in control. I was not in charge. There's the difference. So like I said, these are my definitions. I like to control the things that I can control. Like I said, the clothes I wear, what time I go to bed, but I can't control what the weather's like when I wake up. I'm not in charge of that. That's not my domain. Nor is anybody else's life. I can control my own. I can make the choices for myself. I can't control yours. I can't control my children's. I can't control anybody else's. And the weather and earthquakes and tornadoes and things like that, that's God's domain. I'm not in charge of that either. So there is a difference for me between control and in charge. It's very much like planning a dinner party, right? You're in control. You get to choose what the appetizers are going to be. You get to decide what the main course will look like. Is it going to be meat? Is it going to be vegetarian? Is it going to be vegan? Is it going to be raw? You know, it's up to you. You get to decide what the dessert is, what the decorations are, the music, the entertainment. We plan, we control every aspect of it, right? Right up until the time the bell rings. And then the guests come in, and what happens, happens. You're not in charge of that. You're not in charge. So you're control up to that point, and then you're not in charge. And that's what it is all the time. We're in control. We're just not in charge. But here's the thing. So what happens to us from a consciousness standpoint, what happens to us if those things we are not in charge of start to pile up, not according to our plan, not according to the way we want to control things? We begin to feel out of control, don't we? When we've planned and plotted and plotted and controlled, and yet the outcome is something other than what we want to have it be, we sort of start feeling out of control. When the outcome doesn't match our plan, we begin to feel out of control. And you know, that could be a correct assumption. It really could. But sometimes the things that we're not in charge of don't go the way we want them to go a lot. You know, sometimes the things we're not in charge of just go on their merry way, and they're not the way we want them to be a lot. And when event after event after event begins to pile up, that's when we have a tendency to entertain thoughts of giving up. Right? When the outcomes don't match our idea of how it should be, that's when we begin to get fatigued into the consciousness of giving up. Those are the desperate times when things just don't seem to be going well, don't seem to be going our way anyway. Those are the desperate times. Those are the struggling times. Those are the dark night of the soul times. They are the times when it is incumbent upon us to not give up, but to surrender. That's the point at which we really, really move into surrender. You know, President Abraham Lincoln was he was allegedly to have said, you know, there's some question about these quotes with older people. You know, you research them, you cite them. Some sources say he did say it, some sources say he didn't. But anyway, Noah Brooks, who wrote for the Sacramento Union, said that Abraham Lincoln said, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day." And isn't that where we get to? Isn't that where we get to, where things just don't seem to be outpicturing according to our plan? And when it keeps happening and it keeps piling up and the outcomes are always something other than the outcomes we expected, we are driven to our knees by the idea that we had no place else to go. That is a full court press surrender. That's what that is. We have no place else to go. We feel like everything we're doing, everything we're planning, everything we're trying to control does not work. It seems like the perfect time to give up, when it's really the ideal time to surrender. It is the ideal time to surrender. It reminds me of those old, remember those old cheesy doctor shows, you know, like what was it, Marcus Welby, Dr. Kildare, you know, Ben Casey, right? They do everything that they could possibly do in every test and every procedure and everything. And then the doctor finally comes to the family, like, you know, at a quarter to the hour, right? And says, well, we've done everything we can. Now it's in God's hands. Where it's been all along anyway. You know, that's where we need to start. We need to start in surrender. It's time to surrender when we've done everything that we could possibly think of doing on the physical level, on the level of the effect. No, it's time to surrender immediately. Immediately. When we surrender, Spirit rushes in and fills the space. When we surrender, Spirit rushes in and fills the space. When we surrender, We create that open space for Spirit to transform us. And that's really what transformation, that's what surrender, that's what this whole idea is. It is the invitation for Spirit to come in and transform us. Anne Lamott said this. She said, the movement of grace is what changes us. It heals us and it heals our world. To summon grace, say, help. And then buckle up. And it's so true. It's so true. When we invite Spirit in, when we surrender, that is the moment of grace. That's the moment at which we say, not my will, but thy will be done. And it's something greater than we could have ever imagined. That's what surrender is. It's saying, help. I've done everything I can possibly think of doing. Now it's your turn. You know, now it's your turn. And isn't that really what stops us from surrendering? That's the very thing that stops us from surrendering, is the feeling that we're not going to be in control anymore. That somehow we won't be in charge. But the thing is, we haven't been in charge all along. We haven't been in charge all along. And that's the difference. We have controlled those things in our lives that we can control, but we have not, nor have we ever been in charge. Ernest Holmes used to say this universe is really called God and company. And guess who the company is? It's us. You know, we're the company. We work for. We don't run the show. We show up. That's it. We show up, and we need to trust, and we need to hang on. We need to trust and we need to hang on. Albert Einstein said, the most important decision we will make is whether we believe we live in a friendly or hostile universe. Most important decision we make. Do we live in a friendly or hostile universe? Well, surrender means we're trusting that we live in a friendly universe. We're trusting that we believe the universe is warm and welcoming and supporting and loving. Ernest Holmes said this in What Your God Power Does. He said, we give up all fear. We surrender doubt. We let go of uncertainty. We know there is no confusion and no lack of confidence. We know that what is ours shall see us, claim us, know us, and rush to us. That is awesome. That is huge power. It shall see us, claim us, know us, and rush to us. Like the father and the prodigal son rushing across the field, right? To meet more than halfway. And all we have to do is give up fear, surrender doubt, and let go of uncertainty. Easy schmeasy, right? You know, we're holding on to things so tightly. We are holding on to the past with regret, and we're holding on to the future with worry. How are you going to accept the present that God's throwing at you? You've got no open hands to even accept it. You're going to get hit in the face with it. God's going to throw the present right at you, and you've got no way to hold on to it, no way to accept it, because you're so busy hanging on to the past and in the future. So surrender is not about giving up in despair. We're not throwing in the towel or throwing our arms up, and we're not resigning ourselves to failure. We surrender to a greater good. We surrender to a greater good. When we say God's in charge and all is well, we have to mean it. God is in charge and all is well. We have to mean it. We're surrendering to a greater good that maybe we don't even know. We don't know what it is. But it's a life greater than the life we have. Ernest Holmes said this, the surrender, true surrender, is a willingness to give up that which contradicts life of spirit. So we must give up hatred and antagonism, resistance and resentment, fear and doubt, uncertainty and confusion. All of this must take place if spirit is to greatly incarnate as you. We are the demonstration of as much of spirit as we can accept, boldly embody, and bravely demonstrate. We are 100% spirit, but we're only that much at the level of the condition that we will allow to come forth from within us. So there's the things to give up. You want to give up on something. I mean, you know, if we're talking about the difference between surrender and give up, you want to give up on something? Give up on your fear. Give up on all of those things that contradict your true nature. What'd he say? Give up hatred. Give up antagonism. Resistance and resentment. Give up all those things if you want to give up. And cast ourselves with wild abandon into the life of spirit, the fullest life of spirit that we can demonstrate. Because spirit has a greater idea of your life than the one you're living even right now. When we know our true nature, when we are in communion with the true nature of who we are, of spirit as us, we set those intentions so powerfully into the law that they absolutely demonstrate. There's nothing holding us back except our belief that we're not good enough, that we're somehow less than, that we don't deserve it, that we are not that which spirit is. When we get it that we are, that we're 100% spirit, we happen to be inhabiting this body for this short period of time on this little tiny planet in some backwater of the, you know, galaxy somewhere. When we get that there's nothing to us but spirit, then we boldly step forward and we make our intentions with that sense of spiritual power. We begin to use our imaginations not to escape reality, but to create it. Created in our own lives. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, use these laws. You are completely surrounded by an ocean of mind substance. It is interpenetrating your very being. That means it's all around us. It's in us. It's as us. This mind power. He goes on to say, number two, this mind substance is always being made up into something, and the results are determined by what you believingly and persistently declare into it. Be conscious of your intentions. Be conscious of your I am statements. How many times have you said, I'm broke? How many times have you said, I am opulent wealth? Imbalance? Number three, mind answers to mind. Mind answers to mind. It will become for you according to the pattern you make for it, by your clearly thought out and lovingly desired choice, if you believe it will. And then the fourth thing is to always proclaim and affirm what is. Always proclaim and affirm what is, even if you don't see it. Because somewhere in the mind of God it is. Somewhere in the realm between the invisible and the visible, what you have stated so boldly and proudly and lovingly and joyously already exists. You don't see it yet. That's okay. It's on its way. So these are the principles that Ernest Holmes spoke into his ministry. We're surrounded by a power. It responds to our thoughts, and it outpictures according to our predominant beliefs. Yes? He said that his entire ministry, that was his ministry, and that is what we believe. There is a power and presence in the universe greater than we are. Right? It used to open up every single Sunday talk that he gave. There's a power and presence in the universe greater than we are, and we can use it. Absolutely. There is a power greater than we are. It responds to our thoughts. It outpictures according to those predominant beliefs. So what are the things we have to give up in order to expand on that idea and create more of a life that we desire, more of an expansive life, more of all of those qualities of God that we would demonstrate in our lives. Well, more abundance, more beauty, more balance, more love and joy and order, and more freedom. More wisdom and peace. What do we do to demonstrate that? We have to resonate in those truths. We have to know that's the truth of us. And one of the ways we do that is by giving up the false belief. Let's give up the false illusion of separation. Give up the false illusion of separation. Give up the false beliefs of illness and hatred and fear and violence. Give up the false ideas of not enoughness and brokenness and weakness, and surrender into a glorious life of spirit as form, because that is what we are. That is what we are. The only thing that holds us back from knowing that is that we're afraid to know that. We're afraid to know that. So that's one of the things you have to give up, right? Is the fear. It's right on the list. Surrender into a greater idea of who we are. Surrender to the truth of your life getting better and better day by day. Surrender into the truth that Spirit has a greater idea for our lives than even we do. And so when we set our intentions that way, when we set our intentions in the truth of who we are, we use our imagination, again, not to escape reality, but to create it. To create it. What's next for you? What's next for you? We can say, oh, God knows. And that would be a true statement, wouldn't it? Yes, Spirit knows. Spirit knows of your greatness. Each and every one of us. Simply Spirit having an experience called life. Having an experience called life as us. We are called to do great things. We are called to do small things with great love. We are called to experience all of it. Our spirit, our highest nature, it knows who we are. It knows the truth of us. And our soul, God bless our soul, it wants experience. It craves connection. It wants to just squeeze all the juice out of life that it can. The highs, the lows, everything in between. Our soul just wants experience. It craves connection. It wants to know everything there is to know about being in a live, living body in a three-dimensional world in space and time. And our human nature, that's the one we have to drag along kicking and screaming. That's the one we have to convince. This is truth. This is truth. And you know what? This is truth. Surrender to the greater life that Spirit has for us. Surrender to the greater life. Say yes to a greater expression of who you are. That's true surrender. That is true surrender, and that's what we're here to do this month. So you with me?
Yeah.
Thank you so much.